I wonder if any one of us have been ever bound up at all in a place that we could not get out. In this passage that we have read together, there is reference made to be servants, that people are servants, and that people are bound up to certain things. It's speaking about slavery. Slavery is a concept that is out of place in our modern world, we think. The idea that one human can have the power to force another human to serve him is offensive to our modern minds. We think that doesn't happen. We would recoil at the thought of owning a slave. Or especially if we are slaves ourselves, we cannot imagine it. There was a book I saw recently of a little girl being slave to her father. Her father was using her as a slave, doing his bidding. Where? In London. And that wasn't centuries ago, that was in recent decades. But did you know that slavery is alive and well? Not in some years gone by, no. And in fact, there are slaves here in Cheltenham. Going by the scriptures, we go a step further. We could say, there are slaves in this room. We could say, even further, and you might find this to be offensive or not believe it, that every one of us, myself included, the Bible says we are slaves. Slaves to something, to someone. And you think, well, I never thought of myself as a slave. But if you really believe the Bible and what it teaches, this is what we have to come to. In these verses that we have read, especially verses 15 onwards to the end of the chapter, the Apostle Paul is explaining the difference between being dead in sin and being alive in Jesus Christ. And so he's talking to these Christians in Rome, and he's saying that there are two types of people. They're both slaves, but slaves one to sin and one to Christ. And so it puts this contrast and points out that everyone is a slave in some sense. Everyone serves someone. That will continue to be slaves for all our lives, but that we are to see and to seek one master. We are to serve one Lord. And it is my desire that each one of us would seek to serve Jesus Christ, to know Him, to know what is His will, and to receive His gospel, and know Him as our Master. His disciples called Him Master, and He called His disciples His friends. So, the subject this morning is about spiritual slaves. And I want us to think about, I want you to think about what Master are you serving? And I want you to see that this morning there is this opportunity given to all, again in the preaching of the Word of God and the Gospel of Jesus Christ, that there is opportunity given that today we can change. There can be a change in our course. Our lives can be transformed. So there are a number of things I want us to think about looking at this passage before us. One of the things is, it teaches us to obey Christ. Obey Christ. It teaches us that we ought to be obeying Christ as our Master rather than sin. Paul tells us that we have the privilege of yielding our members, our parts, to a Master. Yielding. What does that mean? Sometimes in the preaching of the gospel, we say, you must yield to Jesus Christ. To yield. This is what this passage also refers to. For example, in verse 16 it says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey?" Or in verse 19, the same, "I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded yourselves, your members, servants to uncleanness," and so on. To yield, what does that mean? To yield, it means to stand as a servant. The wording here in the original, it has to do with someone who is standing to serve somebody else. And that person stands near his master or her master. He's waiting or she's waiting, awaiting orders. It means to be present somewhere, standing, ready, listening to what the master says. And he says, "We are yielding. So the idea is of a man who is at the beck and call of his master. And the whole point of these verses, or these two verses, is that we have, as it were, a choice, we could say, about who we are yielding our lives to. Who are we yielding? This is the question. And notice there are two things that we can take from this. We can walk in rebellion, or we can walk in righteousness. We can reject it all and say, "Well, I don't want the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I really don't want to follow this path that the Lord has set in His Word." And that's a path of rebellion. We can take the grace of God for granted. Every one of us, aren't we blessed? Aren't we blessed in so many ways? In our homes, we have so much. And it only you find out about you have so much when you try to move house. And things pop out of places that you never thought they existed. And we are blessed in so many ways. But do you know we can take that for granted? And we can abuse that? And we can take the grace of God for granted as well? And we think, "I will have tomorrow too. I'll have next week too. I'll just need this time. I know what I'm doing. I know my life is not right with God now. But let me just finish this project. Let me finish this course. Let me just get over this illness. Let me just move house. Move somewhere else. Leave the home. Leave the family. Find a new job." And then, and we would assume that God is simply going to carry on showing us His grace, being merciful to us. And then later on, when maybe, sometimes boys and girls, children think like that, "When I grow up and become an adult, when I'm older, then I become a Christian. Then God will receive me." That's such a presumption. That is actually a life of sinful rebellion. We say no to God all the time. You would think like that, don't you, parents? Those of you who are parents, and you tell your child about, "Can you do this?" And the child doesn't do it. What does that cause within your heart? Doesn't it break your heart? Let alone make you feel angry and upset? But while many might live like this and think like this, sadly, many people think that they are free. They think, "I am free to do what I want to do." But the Apostle Paul makes it clear that actually, no, there is no freedom in sin. You're actually bound to it. You're servants. We are obeying sin. And that's that's what it means. Servants. Literally, it means slaves in our modern language. To live for God and the will of God and the glory of God. To not to know Christ. To not receive His gospel and know that He has died for me and have trusted in Him. To not to know any of these things is to live without God and rebellion against Him. It is a life yielded to a master of sin. And you might think, "Well, that's me." But are you concerned about it? But then there is a walk of righteousness. By the same token, it says in verse 17, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. So this is what they were. A Christian cannot be a proud man. A Christian cannot be a holier-than-thou sort of person who looks down on other people. No. Because he says, this is what you were. And unless the grace of God reaches our soul, that's where we would be. I talked to a man on Wednesday, and this man said, if it wasn't for the grace of God reaching me, I was going to the path of my father, who was a drunkard. And his father had drunk and drunk and drunk to the point that he'd lost his mind. He didn't know the family members. He was in a hospital for a long, long time. And he said, I was going in the same pathway. But my brother, who had heard the gospel, kept telling me, brother, you need the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to be saved. That's what you need. And he said, unless the Lord saved me, I would be the same as my father. Praise God, he went on to say his father was converted too. But this is the way it is. Paul here, he says, through the obedience of the gospel, in our hearts, he says, ye have obeyed from the heart, verse 17, that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. What was that doctrine? What is doctrine? It was teaching. What was it? Taught them, it was the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was this message that I am preaching this morning. The Apostle Paul spoke very clearly about sin. And he said that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then he spoke to them, as he speaks to them here, that God has sent His Son, and God has given us His Son, this gift of God, His eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is what the Apostle Paul kept preaching. He said he glories in the cross of Jesus Christ. That is what he's preaching all the time. We preach Christ and Him crucified, he said. And so this was the teaching. This was the doctrine. And he says, you obeyed this doctrine from your heart. That's faith. That's faith. There's this obedience of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, yielding ourselves not to sin, but to seek the Lord. I don't want to sin. Oh, I do, but I hate it. I want to flee from it. And so, I trust this is why you come to a place like this. Because you're not coming out of tradition. You're not coming because it's the right thing to do. But you want to know God. You want to know the Lord. You want to know what the Scripture teaches. I need to be challenged in my life. I need to be encouraged in my life. I remember reading about a Christian man walking down the road, and he met a friend of his who was an atheist. He didn't believe in God. And this atheist said to him, he knew it was Sunday morning, he said to him, where are you going? And the Christian man said, I'm going to church. And he said, well, what are you going to do there in church? He says, I'm going to worship God. And then the man tried to mock him, and he said, well, can you tell me, is your God big or small? Which God do you believe in? A big God or a small God? And the man said, my God is big and small. So that caught the atheist. And the man said, my God is so small, he's so little, that he enters into my little heart, and he changes my little heart, and he stays there. But also my God is so great that the heaven of heavens cannot contain him. That is the God that we worship. I hope you have come to know him too. Who are we serving now? Obey. This word is repeated. Verse 16 again. His servants ye are to whom ye obey. Obedience. Have you thought about what the word yielding means? To be standing, ready to do something, and obedience. That word, it means to answer a knock at the door. It's interesting, isn't it? It's translated like that. But it's what you call a verbal noun. And it is showing you the action that takes place. If you were to look it up in a dictionary, that is what you would see. Obey. To answer a knock at the door. It's a big picture of, as it were, a butler hurrying to see who is at the door of a home. And my friends, here we are. The gospel of Jesus Christ is preached. You are faced again. I'm thinking this morning, this is what the Bible says about me, my estate before God, what I'm doing. I'm being asked the question, who am I serving? And then the thought comes to your mind and you say, I can see through my life, generally speaking, this is what I've been doing. I've been serving self. I've been serving my family, my wife, my children, and work, and all these other things, trying to have certain place in my life. And you think, well, that's what I've been really serving. But then there might be some of you here, and you think to yourself, even though I spend time in this and that and the other thing, my desire has been to glorify the Lord, but as I think about it, I'm made to realize I wasn't always like this. I didn't always think like this. There was a time that my life was poured into these things. That was my life. My family was my life. And so on. But now Jesus Christ, He overrules everything. He is the one who I serve. When I'm serving my family, I'm doing it for His glory. When I'm working in my office, I'm doing it for His glory. The Lord has saved me. He's changed my heart. He's entered into my little heart so I can worship this great God. So obey Christ. That is what I want you to take home this morning. Obey the Lord Jesus Christ. Yield your life to Him. What has He done for us to save our souls? He yielded His life to be a ransom for many. And then think about, secondly, we've thought about obeying the Lord Jesus Christ. And secondly, the changes that are brought into our lives by Christ. The changes brought by the Lord Jesus Christ. Verses 17 and 18, this is what we read. But God be thanked that ye were servants, the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of sound of doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Not only does the Apostle Paul speak of obedience and this receiving of Christ that we must do in life, but he also refers to the changes that come about in our lives when we receive the Lord, when we are converted in our lives. And this is the thing that unconverted people really haven't experienced. And he goes on, as I said earlier on, he speaks of past failures. Ye were the servants of sin, he says in verse 17, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sins. He's talking about their past. You were. That's what you were. He is referring to a time that before we trusted in Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul in Ephesians, he talks about a time that we were dead in trespasses and sins. A time that we were under this power. Satanic power. Sinful power. And we were, like everyone else, children of disobedience, he says. In Ephesians 2 and verse 3. And so again, it's this reminder of the past. Praise God, the Christian says, I'm not what I used to be. I'm not what I used to be. I'm not boasting in all of these things. My boasting is in the grace of God, in Jesus Christ. But I look back and I thank God, Lord, save me. Where would I be if I carried on in that life? But the Lord saved me. Where would I be if the Lord didn't save me? Maybe some of us would still be going to church. Maybe we would be very self-righteous. Maybe we would be brought up in the church, as some of you children are, being brought up in the church. Is it a good thing to go to church and learn your memory verses and go to Sunday school? All of these things is all good. But I hope you don't carry on going and going and going every week, not changed. This is the thing that is being spoken about. This is what you used to be. A life without God, that's what you used to be. And some of you might think, well, my life, well, I didn't go to church, but it was a terrible life. I was a slave, truly, this is right. I was a slave to my sin. I had all kinds of desires, impulses, thoughts, passions. I would get into those feelings and senses. And I seem to not have control over myself. There are some people who can't control their passions. They get angry so quickly. And maybe some of you, if you're a Christian, you still have certain urges raising, but you're not what you used to be. Before, you would give in to everything without any thought. I won't tell you about myself, but I relate to all of these things myself. I would never, ever, I never had thought I would ever be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, or to be a preacher. That was unbelievable to think about. But then he speaks about this precious faith as well. He speaks about the past. He speaks about this faith. I said to you already, you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Obeyed, answered the call of the gospel. That's what they did. They obeyed it. God began to work and began to call and began to knock, as it were. They answered it. That word form, the form, is an interesting word to think about. Or that form of doctrine. It is a reference made to a mold, something that is molded into something else. A pre-designed shape, and something is molded into that pre-designed shape. Like gold that is poured into a mold, or plastic that is poured into this pre-designed shape. So when they trusted in Jesus Christ, he's saying, you were reshaped. You were reshaped, reformed into the image of Jesus Christ. And God has been working on you. But this is beginning. It has begun. And this doesn't happen, my friends, through any baptism. It doesn't happen through, I don't know, confirmation or going and seeing a minister or anything like that. It begins when you go to Jesus Christ. It's Christ who does that. By His Spirit, He does that. I can't do it for you. But He does. He is the wonderful, Spurgeon called Him the heart changer. And that is what the Lord Jesus is. We thought about it some weeks back. The physician of our souls. And how true that is. This form, it helps us to understand. But maybe you haven't been poured into this pre-designed image of Jesus Christ. Maybe you haven't yet, your life has not changed very much. Maybe certain things outwardly you try to do, but it seems you keep going back to the same things. And then he speaks about this present freedom. He says, now we are set free. The sinner who used to be serving sin is now set free to serve, be a slave of Jesus Christ. And this is our freedom. You say, well, this is not freedom at all. Oh, my friends, if you don't understand that, it means you don't fully understand what the gospel is. We are free no longer to be wanting to go back to our old ways and old things. Our chains, as the hymn writer puts it, has fallen off. We are free now to serve our God. Before we didn't. Before we were outwardly religious, maybe. Before we were steeped in all kinds of things, wicked things. But now we've been set free from that. Who wants to go back to their alcoholism? Who wants to go back to being addicted to certain things? Who wants to go back to those things? Who wants to go back to prison? No one wants to go back to those things. But God has freed us. Being then, verse 18, made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. That's what has happened to you. Freedom. How can you be free? How can a slave be free? In the sense that he's bringing out here, being set free, it's a legal term that is used that was only used in court. And it was to do when a slave was set free, or a prisoner was set free, by a payment. Someone else would pay. It is called the redemption money. Paying for someone else. And the Bible is full of expressions like redeemed and redemption. People sometimes even use it in secular terms and say, well, that was my redemption. And this was done for my redemption. Well, the Bible speaks about Jesus Christ paying a great price for us. And this is why the Christian keeps singing about it. This is what is being sung in heaven. In Revelation 5 and verse 9 we read, and they sung a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. He's redeemed us. That's what the Christian sings of. It's buying as well in a supermarket. Buying something. You go to a market. You go to a shop. You buy something. It's yours now. It's no longer in the hand under the control of the shop owner. It's now yours. You can do what you will. And so we are now Christ. He is purchased us. Another word, redeem, is used, different slant on it, in Galatians 4 and verse 5, to redeem them that were under the law. So Jesus Christ has come to redeem us who are under the law, the judgment of it, the condemnation of it, we are redeemed. It is the sense of being removed from sale. You've seen things there in the shop. You go out and you see in the window of a shop things that are there with a price tag on them. And you go and you take it. It's now no longer there. It's removed. And you see, Jesus Christ does something in us if we come to see Him and trust Him fully. It says we are translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of God's dear Son. We are brought out. No longer there to be used and abused by Satan, as it were. You could go on speaking about this, but think about the price that was spent. The blood that was shed for us. Jesus Christ, He paid our fine. What we deserved was happening to us, as it were. And Jesus Christ came and said, no, I will pay the price for them. I will die for them. And then living for Christ. Paul talks about it in verse 19. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. And so he says, this is what you used to do. You gave yourself, yielded. Every part of you was yielded to this life, that kind of lifestyle, those kinds of thoughts and passions and feelings. And you were serving that, serving sin. But now, don't you want to change? Now we ought to change. We ought to see through the gospel of Jesus Christ, there's such a change that now we yield our members to Jesus Christ to be His followers completely, wholly. Christ alone is our glory, is our hope. And so, in the private place, I'm serving the Lord. I'm following Him. I'm His disciple. In the public place, I'm the same. I don't have two different people within me. It's to serve myself in the private or on Mondays, in business, in my office. I do various things, but it's for self or without God. No, the Christian says, now we give everything. All our members is given So it is really, we are not going beyond the scripture here. People charge Christians, Bible-believing Christians, as being too extreme. We are not extreme at all. We are not going beyond the scripture. We're not going anywhere further from scripture. It's what the Lord says to us. It is the world that does not like Jesus Christ, does not like to be told that we are sinners and we need the Savior, that doesn't like any kind of biblical living. So there is obedience of Christ. You're called to obey Him. There is this change that is brought by the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is this living for Christ. And then finally, there is this compensation. All are compensated. In verses 20 to the end, I've preached on this passage before, especially the last verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So there's this contrast of the old life and the new in the way that these people were living. So there is this contrast that is made in what each of those lives produce in those who are the slaves to them. So there is a life of sin. What does it produce? It produces death. There's a life after Jesus Christ, trusting in Him, that produces eternal life and glory of heaven. What is our life like then? What's going to be the consequences of our lives? We may think, well, I'm doing these good things, right things. I give to charity, I do these various things, and people are very thankful, they're appreciative, they're being blessed in various ways. But do you know God? That's the question. Do you know the Savior? Do you do these things for the ease of your own conscience or for God's glory? Because you understand what the Scripture says, that our righteousnesses, the good things that we do, the way God treats them are as filthy rags, dirty things. He doesn't want our good works. He wants our hearts, our whole being, our whole person. Paul describes himself in this way, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. He didn't see that there was actually anything good in himself. It goes against, somebody would get him a psychologist to come and analyze him and say, well, you shouldn't be thinking like that. Don't have such a low view of yourself. But Paul is speaking spiritually. He says, I can't do anything good before God in myself. But praise God, when God works and begins to work in us, then we can, in freedom to Him, we can worship Him, praise Him, bless His name. But sadly, so many people, you see them all around, and they're not thinking on these things. And yet, what is amazing is that they keep using the name of God, day in and day out. Haven't you heard it? You can't go out of the house. You can't even talk to a neighbor without them blaspheming the name of Jesus Christ or God. It is a sad thing. And yet, when you bring these things up, why are you saying this? Why are you sinning in this way? They wouldn't like it. I remember reading of a man who was in the workplace, and they were talking, and this man kept blaspheming and cursing and all of these things, saying awful things, using the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there was a Christian man there, and this Christian man went along and said, stop doing that. Do you not know that you're sinning by using the name of Jesus Christ in this way? You're dishonoring Him. And so the man said to him, what I will do for you, do you ever go to the cemetery, to the graveyard? The man said, no, I don't go to graveyard. He says, I would give you, in those days they had sovereigns. He said, I'll give you 2 sovereigns. I don't know how much that is actually myself, but it must have been enough money for the man to be enticed to go. And he said, I will give you 2 sovereigns if you go tonight at midnight when it's all dark, and go and repeat everything you have said in a graveyard when you are alone with God. And so the man said, okay, that's easy money. I'll go and do that. So the man went at midnight. And as he went, opened the gate, he went in. It's all dark, no noise, no sound. And he began to think about what he was there to do. And the words came to his heart, alone with God. Alone with God. And he thought, I am alone with God. The dead won't hear me, but God hears me. I'm alone with God, and how can I say these things to him? I'm not saying it to please my friends. I'm not saying it for myself. But I'm alone with God. And that struck in his heart. God pierced his heart, and he fell on his knees and cried to the Lord for mercy. And he went the next day and he said, I went to the grave, but the Lord met me. I was alone with God, and God saved me. My friends, it is a sad thing when we see so many around us saying things about the Lord Jesus Christ. And you think about the compensation of such things. What is it? It's death. And you think about it. What is another thing that we can think of? The compensation, or what we are getting in life, is a wasted life. It's a wasted life. I read a quote of another minister who said this, and I think it is a very helpful thing. He said, I suppose one of the, and I'm not quoting him properly, I don't think, but I think you'll get the gist of it. He said, I suppose one of the things that the internet, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and such things, I hope not everyone knows these things, what they mean. It's good for you if you don't know what they mean. I suppose that such things, the only benefit will be that they will speak against those who said in their lives they did not have time. No time for God. No time for the gospel. No time to go to hear the word of God preached. These things will speak against us one day, because we had so many hours of time to spend on these things. And how true that is, my friends. I have more to say, but remember Jesus Christ who has been sent. You might have been challenged this morning and you might have thought to yourself, well, this is about me. I don't like to hear it, but it is about me. I say, listen, my friends. God has given to us His beloved Son as a gift. Don't reject that gift. Don't say no to it. You're rejecting eternal life as well. You're rejecting the blessings of heaven as well. You're rejecting peace and true life as well. Listen to these sermons. I thought yesterday, while I've been here, at least I preached 600 messages. 600 sermons. Now you calculate it, how many hours? If you have been here, some of you children, you were two or three when I came, and you are much older now, nearly 10 years older, and you've listened, if you came to every service, 600 messages. Imagine that. Do you know how long that is? Imagine if I preached an hour each Lord's Day. You calculate it. That is, the time of it is 2.5 weeks of sermons if you just sat there and listened for 2.5 weeks without any breaks, without going home to bed or anything like that. You're listening to sermons for 2.5 weeks. 600 sermons. Praise God. Some of you, God has blessed it to the salvation of some. But then there are those who have heard these messages and you are still unmoved. There seems to be no change. Or you keep going back and forth and so on. Don't waste that. I'm saying don't waste that. One day, the Lord will bring my list of sermons in front of you. And He will say to you, what about these sermons you heard? You say you have no opportunities. But look, you've listened to at least 600 messages from the Word of God. And the minister came to you, challenged you about this. Do you remember that Lord's Day morning? that he said these things. But may God bless these things for the salvation of even more, although that all of you might be saved. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. We thank Thee that it has helped us to see realities of life. And Lord, what a wonderful thing it is to be the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be one of His followers, to do His bidding. Lord, we are tired of doing our own things. We are tired of doing our own thoughts and wills. But Lord, save those who are yet unconverted. And we pray that Jesus Christ would be their master, that they would leave off their old master, flesh and sin and Satan, and follow the Savior who heals, who restores, who forgives, who blesses. We ask these things through Christ our Lord. Amen.